The scripture reading for today is taken from Romans 14 and from Mark 10. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Mark 10:17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, Viral Brubaker is here as our guest speaker. Thank you so much for coming, Viral. I don't know Viral, but I'm assuming that some of you do, so I don't have a bio or an introduction for him besides thank you for coming. So looking forward to hearing what you had to say.
Well, this is the second time this year I've been here. I was with you on the 26th of January, and it's good to be back with you again. And I'm sorry Merle couldn't be here because I work with him at Mennonite Life. He is one of the hosts, and I work with him occasionally. I'm glad to be here. I've appreciated our worship time together this morning. The remembrance of who we are and your thoughts as you shared them. I want today to talk to you about seeking acceptance. And I'd like to start out with a thought experiment. Some of you can remember back to when you played in the schoolyards, right? I can. Some of you can remember when they would have pickup teams, right? I'm going to be dangerous right now. How many of you was that an exciting piece to do when they had the pickup times? My guess, you were probably the first ones asked. Okay. I have a little video. It's really, really short, so you're going to have to watch carefully and watch closely. It comes out of from a commercial, and you may recognize it. It's for Capital One, but you don't. It's not there. I just wanted to attribute that to it. But this, I think, is what it may have felt like for some of us, or maybe all of us, as we were in that schoolyard.
Thank you. I'll take Barkley.
Yes!
Was that too fast? My guess is that we could replay it again. Why don't we just run that again? Just so you get this. This is in the schoolyard and you're pick up for basketball.
I'll take Barkley.
Yes!
We're height challenged and athletically disabled. This time was the worst time in my life. I wore glasses. I was short. I didn't look like an athlete, and at least at that age. And that was not something that I felt good about, was growing up. This is all to say that we all want to feel accepted. We want to belong. We want to belong somewhere, somehow, some way. In our society today, it's becoming more and more difficult to know how to belong, where to belong. In some places, there are a lot of obstacles to that. ICE agents running all over the place with masks on their faces. Where do we belong? Who belongs? And how? The question then becomes, what are the standards by which we are accepted and by which we accept others? Now, I'm going to ask you another question, some of you. How many of you, okay, know what this is? It's a plumb bob. What do you use it for? Okay. Back before they had levels, this was how you built straight buildings. You'd set it up along the wall, and you would see, is it straight? So what are the standards by which we engage and allow people to be a part of our community? What are the standards that God asks us to have to engage with people? We are living in a fractured society. Curtis Chang and Nancy French wrote a book during the election back much longer than I like to think about. It was the last one, called The After Party. And they ask us some questions because they talk about something they call the big sort. Do you realize that people actually move to different districts so that they can be with a group of people that are politically like them? We move and try to get ourselves into conclaves and places where there are standards of acceptance. And in that, they give the book is written basically to be used as discussion starters for people who might want to think differently from each other and still talk about it. And they ask, how do we know we're participating in, that the big sort is happening? They ask, whom do you no longer see? Either because they left or you left. Whose text have you stopped getting because you blocked them or offensive links for the offensive links that they shared? When you go to another city or a town, is there a local friend or family member you no longer try to see because of you? Because you fear that even to catch up conversation could be difficult. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I had to make a sojourn at the emergency room. Turned out to be nothing serious, but it was a long sojourn. 8 hours in the waiting room. While we were sitting there, I saw someone else that was in there that I hadn't seen since 1985, or 1990. And she was a Facebook friend of mine, is a friend, Facebook friend of mine. And I sat there and I said, I think I know her. But we were on this corner and she was over there and I wasn't quite sure I wanted to go talk to her. I did go and say hi and then we talked a little bit, caught up, and then we moved apart and sat there waiting for the doctors to show up. I'm guilty of separating because some of the conversations we might have would be very difficult. And I wanted to address this issue of acceptance because as I read the scriptures, God's acceptance is all-inclusive. I want you to listen and think about this as we think about the standards for acceptance that we have. Paul writes in the book of Romans that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, Christ died for us. While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more shall we be reconciled and shall we be saved by his life? That's acceptance. That's God's acceptance. He accepts us when we were enemies, when we were godless, when we were powerless. That wasn't God choosing Charles Barkley to play on his basketball team. That's God choosing me, choosing you, choosing us. There were no preconditions. God accepted us, and he showed that acceptance by what he was willing to engage in to draw us in together. Isaiah writes about that in the Old Testament when he has God saying, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." That's not how we practice acceptance. That's how God does. Jesus kind of echoes those words in Matthew chapter 11 when he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In our lives today, we recognize that need to belong. Places that we long to be and cannot seem to measure up. But God's word comes to us and says that he accepts us. He accepts us. So what are the standards that we are to meet if we are to be accepted by God, if there are any? Again, I take you to Jesus' words in Matthew. When he saw the crowds coming around him, he sat down on the mountainside and his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Those who are on the right path, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. Those are not the Charles Barkleys of the basketball court. They're you and I. Now, these are not commands that say that we have to become weak or sorrowful or hungry or thirsty. These are descriptions of who we are. Because when we come up to that line when they are going to call our name to say whether we're on the team or not, we are hoping to be called first and not last, or not called and said, oh, well, I guess I'll have to take Brubaker as the last resort. We don't want to have that happen to us. But God says we know that deep down inside us, we are not Charles Barkley's, but He wants us. Whether we're poor in spirit, whether we are mourning, whether we are meek, whether we need mercy, He wants us. He will accept us as we are. He does tell us then that if the only requirement then is that we are willing to come. Come to the waters. Come and receive that is there. Do you want to be on the team? Come on, we'll find a place. Do you want to be a part of the group? Come on, we'll find a place. Do you want to be a group? And when we do that, then we are called to become those who accept others. One of the frequent things that God said to the people of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness, as He gave the laws, He said, make sure you're okay taking care of the aliens, the strangers in your midst. Remember that you were a slave. Remember that you were an alien. Remember that you were those that the world would not accept. So when you are coming together and there are those kind of persons in your midst, take care of them the way you want to be cared for. It doesn't matter how many offerings we give, how many bulls we sacrifice, no matter what we do, it does not matter if we do not do what we have, we do not give what we have received. The prophet Micah was asked, what does the Lord require of us? Should I give Him rivers of wine? Should I give Him bushels of grain? Should I give Him tons of meat? He replies to them, only three things are required for those of us who are accepted. Not to be accepted, remember, but who are accepted. To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. Sometimes we do justice and love mercy and forget that last piece. That humility is that piece that reminds us that we were accepted even though we weren't Charles Barkley. We were accepted. We are accepted because of that. And so once we get into that mode and understand that we are to extend mercy because we have received mercy, we are to extend acceptance because we have been accepted. What do we do with the people that are strange, unacceptable by worldly standards? First of all, we need to recognize that all behavior and all ideas are rational to the one who holds them. They might not even know the logic of it, but they know that they get something from it. All behavior and all ideas are rational to the one who holds it. Even to our most difficult political adversaries. That doesn't mean we have to agree with it, but it means that they believe that it does something for them. When we are in a relationship, we are called to commit to stay in the relationship. We are not to practice the big sort. We do not find ways to move into the more comfortable neighborhoods because it's scary to live someplace else. We stay in relationships. Too easily, we find reasons to move apart, break relationship. There becomes a faithfulness to that relationship as well. And one thing I think we all need to do, well, I'm going to say I need to do more than I do, is to listen before we talk. To listen before we talk. People will come and say, "Can we talk?" We'll say, "I'd like to talk to you." Maybe instead of saying that, we said, I would like to listen to you. I would like to hear what you have to say, particularly those with whom we have disagreements, particularly with those who are difficult to live with. Tell me what's going on. What's happening in your life? And we are to seek to understand before we seek to be understood. The bishop of my congregation, when I first began pastoring way back in the dark ages, I was complaining because the people didn't understand me. And he very wisely, with a smile on his face, said to me, "Verl, people won't care what you know until they know that you care." It's taken me a while to try to live up to that. I'm not quite sure I've gotten it down right yet. But when we come to those people who we know, because we do, want to be accepted, let's listen before we talk. Let's seek to understand before we seek to be understood. I think there's a phrase in St. Francis' prayer that goes something like that. Help me to understand rather than to be understood. Paul, in the passage that we had read today, says, accept those who don't agree with you about a whole bunch of things. What foods to eat or not to eat, whether vegetarian or carnivores. Those who seek one day to set one day aside as others. He says, we are not to be judging others, but we are to be understanding and open to them. The other passage that we had read this morning was the story of the rich young ruler. Depending on which version of Matthew, Mark, or Luke you read, he was either rich, or he was young, or he was a ruler. We kind of put them all together when we tell the story. But he came. He was one who wanted to belong. He wanted to follow Jesus. And so he had to ask, what must I do? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He says, well, I've done that. And the telling part in Mark's gospel that we heard today is that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he said, if you truly want to be able to follow me, sell everything you have and come follow. Get rid of what you have and come follow. For him, Jesus seemed to indicate it was his possessions. But for some of us, getting rid of all that we have might be our own lack of self-acceptance. It might be our own inability to recognize our own worth as God sees it. So maybe we just need to dump all of those preconceptions of ourselves and come follow them. It's a difficult thing to finish reading that story. Because after Jesus looked at him and loved him and told him the way to what you're looking for is to empty yourself of all the things that hold you back, the young man walked away sorrowful. And Jesus did not chase him down. He let him go. And that too is a part of acceptance. Acceptance stays as closely attached to the other as possible. We stay connected to the extent that the other's decisions allow. Our willingness to try to chase somebody down and hold them because we want to stay with them, we want to love them, often just makes them run faster. But if we can find ways to maintain touches, to maintain connections, maybe even click that little button on Facebook that says happy birthday to somebody that we're having trouble with. Finding ways to make a call or send a birthday card. Moving towards somebody at a pace with which they are comfortable is part of the process of acceptance. And I can accept somebody without agreeing with them. You can accept somebody without agreeing with them. Some of us know that from our own children. Some of us know that from the people who have gone away from us in our families, in our congregations, our friends. We can still accept them, allowing them to hold their own opinions and their ideas, even if we think they are wrong. That's part of acceptance. But we keep praying for them. We can always do that. We don't have to ask their permission, and we don't have to get them on their knees and pray on them. But we can pray for them. And we can make connections with them wherever they are. But we also need to be careful, as Paul is saying in Romans chapter 14, that we do not set up artificial boundaries that keep people from coming to us, from keeping people who join with us. Jesus accepts us when we are enemies, powerless, godless. And he doesn't come with his might and his power to slay us or to drag us back. He keeps the connections for him, with us that he can, that we will accept. And always stands with an inviting posture to welcome us home. The standards by which we measure acceptance is God's standards. And that means that we respect the image of God in every person, no matter how badly distorted it might have become. I pray that all of us may find ways to accept those who we find it difficult to accept. And I pray that all of us here we'll know that we have been accepted and find ways to let other people know that they are accepted as well. Amen.